Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Are you there? Are you ready? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. The Bible says, "In account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." Now, I want you to notice here, and this is what we're going to focus on for a while. Peter is encouraging his people, the people that he's writing to, he's encouraging them to go read Paul's epistles. All right? This is pretty important. And he said in verse 16, "As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest." That word rest does not mean lay down, take nap. It's related to the word wrestling, or as we used to call it, wrestling. Anybody, Jared, you ever get out in the yard and wrestle? Okay? What it means is, you know how two guys that are wrestling, it looks like two snakes all twisted up with each other? That's what the word means. The word rest, W-R-E-S-T, means twist. And he's telling you here that there are people who are unlearned and they are unstable, and they will twist the Scriptures. They'll say things that are not there. They'll take things in the Bible out of context, out of what they really mean, and they'll teach false doctrines based upon their twisting of Scripture. As they do also the other Scripture, he said they do it to Paul and they do it to the other Scriptures unto their own destruction. And this is why I'm kind of standing here in fear tonight, because I have a responsibility to make sure that if it comes out of this mouth, at least most of it's true. And the rest of it, if it's not quite 100% true, you know my heart is in the right place, and I want you to know the truth, and I don't think you have to get it all from me. Okay? So anyway, that's why I'm here, because God's going to judge me. God's going to chastise me if I get out of line. So he says, verse 17, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever." And all God's people said, amen. It says grow in grace, which means that as we grow, we increase. Okay? I am way bigger than I was when I was 15. I've been increasing, okay? But as we grow, especially if we increase in grace, that means that we realize that we're not saved by our own works and our own deeds. We're saved by God's grace. But we also grow in our knowledge. That makes you responsible for being a student of the Word of God. And again, I was thinking about it today. What a world we live in. Okay, where we can study the whole counsel of God quicker than any other generation has ever done it before. We can scan the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, looking for words, looking for phrases, looking for doctrinal understanding. We can do that now better and quicker than any other generation before. You have a King James Bible printed, and then you have a Bible in your phone, in your tablet, on your computer. This dawned on me the other day. God has used our church by way of the software that Sister Donna has written for us, with just the distribution of that software and the web links and everything like that. We're numbering in the tens of thousands of Bibles that we have distributed, and we haven't printed a single one. And it just dazzles me, it floors me at what God is doing right now. Okay, that doesn't mean we get a big head about it and, oh God, we must be something special. We ain't nothing. Amen? Okay? But here's my point in all this. Your personal responsibility is to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? If you don't learn something, maybe it's not time for God for you to know that yet. I've learned that. Okay? But if you haven't learned something that you think you need to learn, then you're the one responsible for getting your Bible out and falling on your face before God and say, God, I'm going to wrestle with you until you show me what I'm seeking for in the Word of God. Okay? That's your responsibility. It's your place to grow and to exceed in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm going to deal with a subject tonight, and for however long God carries this on, I'm going to deal with some issues that have made me unpopular amongst some people that say they believe the King James Bible. At first, you know, I'm here on the internet and I'm saying King James, King James. And everybody's going, oh, he's King James, he's King James. And then all of a sudden, I'm not saying things that they want me to say. And I'm not preaching doctrines that they are demanding that I preach. And I'm not seeing what they say is in the Bible. And I can't apologize for that. I want to get along with everybody. I want people to like me. I'm like everybody else. But when it comes to what this book says over what this man over here says, or what this man over here says, or even this man here says, it's the book first and man's wrong. Okay? And so, as I see the Scriptures, to me, it's crystal clear. And what I'm going to show you is, the question is, where is it that we are supposed to get our doctrine and our interpretation and our understanding from the Bible? And I'm preaching this live, and it's being recorded. Hopefully, it's going to be on the internet, and there's going to be some people watch it, and they're going to criticize me, and they have in the past criticized you people. There was one guy that wrote a letter here telling me that I need to resign my pulpit, give it over to somebody who was far better at teaching the Word of God, and this church needs to run me out. And they were just blasting you guys for listening to me. I'm just going, why? I ought to. Listen, say it about me all you want to. You leave my people alone. Okay? I just don't put up with that at all. But anyway, I'll show you what I'm getting to here in a little bit. Okay? Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, there's a couple things in here you need to understand. Number one, he said, study to show thyself approved unto who? Unto God. Okay? Your approval or disapproval is going to come from God Almighty and nobody else. That's who you need to please, and that's who you need to try to keep in mind. Amen? Okay? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, the criticism that I've faced, in fact, the accusations of outright heresy that I've received in the past is that I don't, quote-unquote, rightly divide the Bible correctly. And the question is the Bible rightly divided to give a doctrine and a gospel to the Jews that is different than the doctrine and gospel to the Gentiles? Because that's what they accuse me of. They accuse me of not dividing the Bible right, and that I'm preaching the same gospel to the Jews and to the Gentiles. And I'm going, yeah? And they're going, well, you're not rightly dividing. That's heresy. You're mixing things that should not be mixed. I'm going, where in the world? So I had to do a little homework, had to do a little research, had to do a little study into where this comes from and what's wrong with it. And I've got people emailing me just about every week, and they're trying to trip me up on this issue. They're trying to get me to flip over to their side for some reason, and they'll raise some kind of issue like Paul. Here's one of them. Paul was the only one who understood the mystery of the gospel. None of the other apostles understood it. None of the other apostles preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what I'm going to show you is that Peter preached it before anybody else did. Okay, but it's every time they bring up something that they stand on, I'm going, well, but the Bible says this, and the Bible says this, and the Bible says that. And they're mad at me for not going their way, but the problem is, I cannot go beyond the bounds of the written Word of God. I cannot spread myself out farther than the wall that God has built around me and my understanding. And my thing is, if it's not the Bible, it does not exist, and it's not true. And if it's not in the Bible, you're not going to be quizzed by God on Judgment Day. Did you believe this? Well, God, where was it? Well, that doesn't matter. You should have believed it. That's not God. He judges us righteously according to His Word. It's just like any dispute. If you have a contract dispute, if you signed a contract with a car company, you bought a car, or a rental company, you rented something, you rented a house, you rented property, you rented a steam locomotive or whatever, you rented something and you signed a contract. the sum total of the agreement between you and the person you rented it from is on that paper. Nothing exists outside of the boundaries of that piece of paper that you and he both signed. Does everybody understand that? You can sign a contract, and then later on, the guy can call you and say, yeah, if you want to keep that another day, go ahead. I ain't going to charge you nothing. Don't you believe that? Don't you believe it? You know why? Because he could charge you and win the case, and you can bring up to the judge, but he called me and told me I could keep it another day. It doesn't matter. You're bound by what was on that paper. That was the sum of your agreement. And what I'm supposed to believe should only come from this book. And if this book says it's this way, then it is this way. So the question is, and I'll just ask you in the room very quickly, is the Bible rightly divided? And I use that in quotation marks. To give a doctrine and a gospel to the Jews that is different than the doctrine and the gospel to the Gentiles. Is there two different gospels, one for the Jews and one for the Gentiles, in the Bible? Okay? Now, stand up and prove your case. You look at here. Amen.
If you look at the Old Testament, Christ was all through the Old Testament.
Amen. 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 Everlasting gospel. Same gospel, everlasting. So we all agree. Amen. Okay. And I listen. There's people going to be watching there. They're going. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to put these verses on the screen, but I encourage you, get your Bible out, read them from your Bible. You'll memorize them better that way. They'll look better, they'll look more familiar to you. All right? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to lay the case. The question is the Bible rightly divided to give a doctrine and gospel to the Jews that is different than the doctrine and the gospel of the Gentiles? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. What does that wax mean? Increase. Like a waxing moon. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. How many of you believe that's going on right now? Say amen. Okay. Verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Now I'm going to say this to you, to those of you on the internet. The internet is full of garbage. It is full of garbage. It is full of everybody who has a false creed or false doctrine is on the internet trying to sell their case to everybody. You hang on to this book. Okay? And if you, I'm just going to say that some of you can read some of that stuff or listen to some of that stuff and shake your head and go, that's stupid. That's nonsense. That's a bunch of baloney. Some of you can't. Some of you get easily pulled into stuff that you should have never got pulled into. If that's the case with you, if you find yourself too weak to do that, then shut that internet off. Get you a wired telephone to call people with. Amen? And throw your TV out too. And just get your Bible out and just read it. All right? Anyway, he said they're going to deceive and being deceived. But continue down the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child, he's saying this to Timothy now, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now I'm going to stop right here and just deal with this issue for a minute. The Holy Scriptures that Paul was referring to was not the New Testament. It was in the process of being written, but it wasn't all there yet. Timothy grew up reading the Old Testament. Okay? And look at what he says here. From a child that's known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Jared, he said exactly what you said. Paul was showing Timothy how he could see Jesus in every place and in every story and in every law and in every proverb and in every psalm in the Old Testament. He was showing him how he could see Jesus all throughout the Old Testament. The prophets knew who Jesus was because they prophesied of him. David knew who Jesus was. He testified of him. He wrote songs about him. Moses knew who it was. Moses told the people God's going to send an angel with a great big capital A and he's going to lead you into the promised land. Moses testified of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, and Timothy knew those scriptures. and he knew those prophecies. And Paul was telling him that Holy Scripture that you had, which, by the way, was not an original manuscript. Did you ever think about that? The scholars now tell everybody, now we believe the inerrancy of the Bible in the original manuscripts only. Timothy did not have the original manuscripts. He had copies, and there's a chance that he had a translated copy of the Old Testament, probably in Greek. But Paul called it holy, which means that Timothy could trust in it, and it was right. Okay? So anyway, known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all Scripture, say this out loud with me. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. There is so much in here. Number one, all the Scripture. The whole deal. Genesis to Revelation. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished. When people come up to you on the internet and say, well, not everything that God does is in the Bible, just show them 2 Timothy 3:17 and 3:16 and say, right here it says, all Scripture is given to us so that we could be thoroughly furnished into all good works. And what that means is everything that God needs for me to know is in my Bible. I do not accept your doctrinal, wherever you came up with that, I do not accept that. There, by the way, is there a verse in the Bible that says not everything that God does is in the Bible? Is there a verse in the Bible that says we can look elsewhere for doctrinal understanding or correction or reproof or whatever? No. It says to get it from all Scripture. Now, let me tell you, part of part of the problem that exists today is they have taken even 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, they've taken that in the modern translations and twisted it to make it say every inspired Scripture has its use. Which means it's not all inspired, but what is, if you're able to find it, would do you some good. That is a far cry from what the office of apostle was. God had given these men the authority over His church. What they wrote was God's Word. And Paul said, I'm telling you, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Okay? So that's sort of where we're going to be going with this. We're going to get some understanding of where we're supposed to get our understanding of the Bible. So number one, Paul said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we know that we can get our understanding and our interpretation from all Scripture. So that's rule number one. Isaiah 28. Turn there. Don't you just love it when I make those letters so little on screen you can't read it? Amen. Okay? Isaiah 28. Look at this one. Isaiah 28, verse 7. They also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. Roy, let me ask you. Okay? Did you ever do a field sobriety test? Okay, more than once. Okay? Probably didn't pass them, did you? Okay. There's a reason why. You'll help me out here in a minute. All right? They have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink and they are swallowed up. See, you don't drink wine. Wine drinks you. Amen? That's what Steve told me one time. He said, you get to a point where you're not doing the drugs are doing you. Amen. He said, they're out of the way through strong drink, they err in vision, they stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness. What happens when you get really busted up drunk? You bow at the porcelain altar. Okay? Anyway, he said, all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so there's no place clean. Now, verse 9. God is looking for some people who He can teach knowledge and make to understand doctrine. Whom shall He teach knowledge? And whom shall He make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. That's a child-raising idea. That at some point, they're not walking around sucking on a bottle. You're giving them, and every mama knows this. Once you get them on real food, they'll sleep all night. Yeah, yeah, your mamas are going, amen. Okay? So anyway, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept. Why did he say that twice? Why did he do that? Precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, and there a little. He's showing you the testaments. Precept upon precept, precept upon precept. Here a little, and there a little. Line upon line, line upon line. And he says, for his stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Moses had stammering lips. The stammering lips represent the Old Testament. And another tongue represents Greek. It represents the New Testament. Will he speak to this people? God prophesied that he was going to speak in another language other than Hebrew. So then he says, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. God promised, and Paul talked about this in Hebrews, that God had a rest scheduled for Israel. But they wouldn't have it. God was going to give them the land, and they wouldn't have it because of their unbelief. He said, but they would not have it. They would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Now, Roy, if you can remember back that far, through all the fog and the clouds, okay, that you had back then, what were some of the things that they would do as they were giving you a field sobriety test? What would they ask you to do? Walk a straight line. They know that drunks cannot walk a straight line. They walk like snakes. They're what this verse said. They have erred in vision and they stumble in judgment. And through strong drink, here's the way is a straight line. And they are out of the way. So that's one thing. Number two, give me something else. Say the alphabet backwards. I'm trying to do that one now, okay? Z, Y, X. I have to do it little packets at a time, okay? But I can do it, all right? Here's the thing. When you're drunk, you can't even say, most of these guys can't say the alphabet forwards. But they're adding a little bit of complexity to the alphabet. We all know the alphabet, amen, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. To reverse it, we'd have to put some thought process. We'd have to put critical thinking skills into play. Skills that you need to make decisions when you're driving a vehicle. See, these tests weren't designed by dummies. They were designed by people who know what alcohol does to the brain and what it takes to drive a motor vehicle. There's a reason why Wesley did not drive the car over here. Right? Right? Oh, he's acting offended. Okay? He doesn't have what it takes yet. He'll get there, but doesn't have it yet. Something else. Reach out and touch the tip of your nose. They err in vision. Okay? They can't see it. But here's the thing. He puts this in here about line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Because it's like drunks sitting down with a 500-piece picture jigsaw puzzle. They wouldn't be able to do that one either. They would just puke on the puzzle pieces and pass out in the vomit. Okay? They would not be able to put this thing together. Am I right? Why? Because it takes here a little and there a little. See too many pieces. 500-piece now turns into 1,000. Okay? Choose the one in the middle. But here's my point. God expresses it this way because He's telling us, if you want to understand doctrine, it's going to be here a little and there a little. And if you have a drunken spirit, you will never get it. You're too drunk. Your mind is clouded. You cannot think the way God wants you to think. And so here, He's given you the principles. Read some of the Old Testament. Read some of the New Testament. Read some of the Old Testament. Read some of the New Testament. Go back and forth. Read this, read that. Read this and read that. And all of a sudden now, God's connecting things together. Okay? With this software that we have, it makes it so easy to go through the whole Bible. If I were to say the word see, S-E-A, you just type that in. You can look at every place. There's 400 places in the Bible where it uses the word see. You can go through all 400. Yeah, you'll miss MacGyver. Okay? Or The Price is Right. But it'll be worth it. Okay? And spiritual drunks cannot do that. They cannot put those pieces together. That's why God is looking for some people who will be sober. Amen? So along with all this, he's telling you, this is how you understand the Bible. So when you see, Jared said it, when you see a rock and Moses striking that rock and water coming forth, when you see that in the Old Testament, then you go, and if you don't know what that is, go read 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Because Paul says it word for word. That rock was Christ. It was Jesus Christ. That's where the living water came from. That bread that they were eating, guess who that was? That was Jesus. Okay? That glory of the Lord in the cloud, guess who that was? That was Jesus. And all these types and shadows you see. The high priest, well, that's Jesus. The lamb, that's Jesus. The rock, that's Jesus. It's all Jesus, all throughout the Old Testament. Amen? When you read both Testaments, you learn that. And you understand that those two parts of your Bible are not... I don't like... When I eat peas and mashed potatoes, I don't like for my peas to get in my mashed potatoes. And the juice from those peas to get in my mashed potatoes. Who's with me? Okay? I like the divider plates. Okay? But let me tell you something. Bye, guys. Let me tell you something. Okay? The Bible, it's all right if you mix a little pea with a little potato. Amen? Do what? Goes down easier, Roy said. All right? Anyway, here a little, there a little, and God will show you how to connect it. All right? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, you turn there while I read. All right? You'll catch up. King of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation. That's what I want in my... That's what I want for me. I want to read this Bible, and I want to understand it. Now, I don't understand everything I read in my Bible. And even Peter, in that verse we started out with, he said, as Paul, our beloved Paul, said in all his epistles, which some things are hard to understand. Peter said that. Not even Peter understood some of those things, but he believed them. And he didn't say that Paul was teaching something contrary than what Peter was teaching. No, no, no. They were all part of the same, they were on the same team. Amen? But I want to know, if I see that rock, in the Old Testament, I want to know what that rock is. If I see a goat, I want to know what that goat is. In the Bible, okay? If I see something in the Bible, I want to know what that is. You know how the best way to do that? Ask questions. Ask God questions. God, show me that. God, show me what that means. God, I do not understand that. Show me what that means. I promise you, God will give you light. He'll give you a blessing. He'll give you some understanding. Anyway, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Dark sayings are what God promised that He, when Jesus come, He would be speaking in dark parables, dark sentences. And Jesus taught parables because to the Jews, they didn't get it. They didn't understand it. And Jesus took His apostles aside and He said, let me tell you what the mystery is of this parable. Anyway, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs chapter 2, next chapter over. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, and we'll stop right here. Not Spurgeon's words, not Larkin's words, not Billy Graham's words, not Mike Hoggard's words, not Jack Van Impey's words, not Joel Osteen's words or Joyce Meyer's words. But let me just kind of tell you how I used to be, Ian, before God brought me into this ministry. I would buy books, usually on prophecy, and I was bad about this. I'm embarrassed to even tell it. I would buy books on prophecy and read what the author said and skip when he put verses in there. You know why I did that? Oh, I already know what the Bible says. I want to see what he's got to say. And I look back now and I shake my head and I'm going, Hogger, you were an idiot. The best thing about that book you were reading was not what the guy wrote, but what the Scripture said. And I get that now. And God's kind of turned me around. I've mentioned that book on prayer. By the way, if you sent me that book on prayer, thank you. I don't know who sent it, but I received it. God bless you for that. But when Rose put that on my desk and I picked it up, I'm looking not at what he said. I'm looking at the Scriptures. That's all I read was the Scriptures out of it. And I went, God, I needed to know this. Okay? Study God's Word. You know how you study it? You read it. It's that simple. Because the Holy Ghost will help you and help your infirmities and help you with things you do not understand. The teacher, the guy who wrote the book, will always be there as you're reading his book. So he says, apply thy heart to understanding. If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver. The words of the Lord are pure words as silver, the Bible says. And searchest for her as for hid treasures. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He did not say that about me. He did not say that about you. He did not say that about any of the Christian authors that are out there on the field right now. He said it about himself and his word. For he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. The way of the saints is the Bible. It says right here that God preserved it. Okay? Anyway, he keepeth preserveth the way of the saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. So I could ask you tonight, those of you sitting here, those of you listening online, and those of you who do not like what I'm going to talk about, if you really want to understand the Word of God, then get out the Word of God and read it. And do this. Tell God to wipe out 90% of everything you thought you knew and start all over again. Because God will help you. And I'll leave you with this testimony. Jimmy Baker, you remember him? Okay? I'm not saying he's much better now. But when he went to federal prison, his testimony was, and he wrote this in a book. I read a book. He wrote a couple books after he got out of prison. Here's one of them. And he said, when he got federal prison, all he had left was the Bible. And he said he had a lot of time. 7 to 10. Okay? He had a lot of time. And he said he felt like God was telling him to write down every word that Jesus spoke out of his mouth. So he had a red letter Bible. It made it easy. And he had pencil and paper. And he started writing down everything that Jesus said. And he said, you know what happened? All of a sudden, for years, I was telling everybody that God loves you when you're rich. He said, I realized that Jesus did not get along with rich people. And he said, his whole life and his whole philosophy changed when all he had was the Word of God. If you'll be willing to do that, I'm not your teacher. The Holy Ghost is. I am not qualified. That guy that wrote the letter was right. I am not qualified to open this book and unseal it for you. But Jesus is. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. And if you'll ask God and open this book, he'll show you. Okay? Let's stand to our feet.